Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's daily editorials with an update from Joseph Schatcher. He is the founder and editor of the Schatcher Energy Report, also writes the Eye on Energy Report, that is a free report that breaks down really the fundamentals, the data that is being presented for the energy sector. That's where I want to start, Joseph. High level data for the energy sector, especially when it comes from oil. Break down some of the recent data for everyone, please.
Yeah, there's two issues going on here. One, of course, is the demand, and the other one is the supply. On the demand side, I think everybody knows from last week's data, the employment report was bad on both sides of the border. They were looking for 1 million jobs to be created, and there was less than 300. They lost manufacturing jobs in the States. In Canada, we had a number of over 200,000. I think the unemployment rate went from 7.5 to 8.1. And of the job losses, I think the majority of them were in Ontario, the industrial heartland of the country. And today, we got from the EIA that demand fell in the States by 2.2 million barrels to 17.5 million. So you've got weakening demand. The Colonial Pipeline thing is why oil prices have strengthened, because everybody's worried about filling their tank of gas, and the price of gas at the pump is now over $3 nationally in the U.S. Probably places on the East Coast are in the $4 to $5, and that's not including the gougers, who are probably dragging even higher prices. The other side, of course, is supply is increasing. OPEC, over the period of May, June, July, is increasing supply by 2.1 million. Just in the month of May, they're increasing supplies by 600,000, 350 from the remaining, from most of the OPEC producers, and then Saudi Arabia by 250, so 250 plus 350, 600,000. And yet we have weakening demand, we have weakening employment data in North America. Europe's not doing much better. The only really saving grace for the bulls on the demand side is China. India's a disaster now. They've lost probably 50-60% of their demand because of all the lockdowns. So I think the market is being a bit irrational here. The Colonial thing has helped, but I've been bearish. We've been saying sell for a while, and I've lightened up and booked some fabulous gains. From March of last year when we said buy, we had things tripling in names like Tourmaline, five times up in Whitecap. Things like Touchstone were up 14 times. These are shocking performances, especially for the larger caps, five times on Crescent Point. So we booked all of those gains and recommended that to our subscribers to book them. And this week, I myself have added bearish positions on both on the ETFs on the energy sector, and also now on the as well on the general stock market. And of course, this week we're finally seeing the cracks in the general stock market. Part of that is because of inflation. Part of it is because the FANGs and the Internet of Things stocks have had such great performance over the last year. And since really January, February, we've seen weakness underpinning, but the averages have held up. But you look at something like Tesla was 900, and now it's below 600. And we're now starting to see cracks forming in other parts of the market. The Dow right now, as we speak, is down almost 700 points. To 33,600, and my guess is we're probably going to break 30,000 and possibly go even into the mid-20s, 24 to 26,000 on the Dow. That's a pretty serious correction, and energy at some point will start reacting to the general market weakness, and then as the negative data continues to come out, as I expect it will, more supply, less demand, I think we're going to see a severe correction. And that's what we've been telling our subscribers to be careful about and make sure they're defensively postured.
So, Joseph, I feel like we've been talking about some of the negative data around the oil sector for the last couple months. But quite frankly, besides the little bit of a pullback that crude had in March, oil still remains at the upper part of this trading range, right around $65 a barrel as you and I are chatting. Is it then all about weakness in the broad averages to pull back all this optimism that is still seeming to be in the oil market?
Well, I would say that the same thing for the Internet of Things. If you remember all through 2020 and early 2021, everybody was saying these are the stocks you got to own. And you know, Tesla, Netflix, all of them. But if you look at them now, Facebook, you look at all these stocks, you can see that they're already been breaking down. But the market isn't talking about it until this week, you know, the last few days. So the market has been ignoring the internal deterioration because the averages have held up. Now the averages are breaking. So it's like you start seeing cracks across the system where everybody only focuses on the positive side of the coin. And it's only when you see the coin flipped over that everybody starts seeing the cracks and the problems. We're seeing that in the general market. We're seeing that in the FANGs. I think the negatives that I perceive and that I've been talking about, and that anybody who wants to get Eye on Energy, it's a free copy that we do every week on Wednesdays. It covers what's going on the macro side, the drilling report, the OPEC report, Baker Hughes drilling report is the one we cover, also the EIA data. And people just can go to our website, and I think you'll give them a link to that, and then they can just go into the subscriber page, and then they can click on the one that says Eye on Energy and get access to that. And then they can get more information on what's going on the fundamentals. But the fundamentals, from my point of view, have been negative for a month or two, yet the price has held up. The same thing you could say, you know, what happened with the Internet of stocks. Everybody was in love with them because of the at-home, you know, work-at-home rule. But then look what's happened to Peloton. Look what's happened to, many of the other stocks, Netflix. You know, you start seeing some fundamental weakness, Peloton with problems with their treadmill. And in the case of Netflix, lack of subscriber growth. So we're now, you know, all the fundamentals have been there. And it's only now that you're seeing the cracks in those stocks. I think we're going to see those cracks in the oil and gas stocks in the weeks ahead.
So that's the thing about the oil and gas stocks, though. They keep running higher. Just look at the chart of Tourmaline. I have it up here, and the low back in 2020 after that March washout was right in the $6.50 range. And now it's the whole way up, pushing close to $30. And just the last 2-3 weeks have been almost a straight up move. So why are you ignoring the moves in the stocks right now, Joseph?
Well, you end up having at the end of a crazy market where you have stocks go up, you know, very, very strongly. You know, we saw that with GameStop. We saw it with so many others where they go up on this, you know, frenzied move. And then when, you know, it's almost like, you know, you shoot up, you know, a little rocket with some fuel in it, and then the rocket burns through the fuel, and then what happens? It comes right down. I think that's what we're seeing here is that we had this massive run in the market, and people just were jumping on everything and not looking at the fundamentals or the numbers. And I think the numbers and the fundamentals do matter. And we'll begin to see an erosion in the prices. You know, we had a one-year target on Tourmaline of 30, and it's there now. So, you know, even though I love the company and I'm going to be a buyer of it on weakness, you know, I think the stock will back off at least 10 bucks here in the next few months. So, you know, do I want to overstay my welcome? I made a good profit from 7 bucks. If I sold early, I sold early, but I have a triple in booked. So no complaints from me on that one.
Now, are there any sectors within the energy realm, I guess, that you see opportunity in or that you think are not due for some sort of a correction?
None. I think they're all going to get hammered. I think they're all going to get hammered. I think the energy is going to get hammered. The energy service is going to get hammered. The pipeline and infrastructure stocks are going to get hammered. We may see them start that because I think we're going to see a battle over Line 5, and Enbridge, you know, may win today's court case, but then the, you know, the state of Michigan is probably going to go to court federally or statewide to challenge that and require it to shut down. You shut down Enbridge, and that really hurts Eastern Canada's supplies. Half of the supplies comes through Line 5 from Western Canada into Ontario and Quebec. That's going to cause problems, and of course that revenue stream is gone, so Enbridge could get hit. And then look what happened when you saw the XL pipeline, Keystone XL canceled, you saw TransCanada stock got hit. So I think that, you know, we've seen so much euphoria, and now the price, you know, now we're going to see, you know, what the other side of the coin looks like. And my view is that the fundamentals are stretched on the upside. nice to see that, you know, everybody hated the oil and gas industry last year in March when we turned bullish because the values were unbelievable. And, you know, nobody thought we were going to stay at $30 oil because the industry would shut down. And now we're looking at, you know, $65 WTI, almost $3 for AECO. And the natural gas stocks are, and the oily names have done well. You've seen a bit of a bounce in the service sector and a decent move in the pipeline and infrastructure, but everything to me is now overbought. You can defend your portfolio by, you know, using option strategies, or you can hedge, by getting some negative ETFs. But I think when we talk a month from now, I think we're going to be looking at stock prices much lower than they are today.
Okay, so you think this correction is going to come quickly and be pretty deep, then what level do you see, let's say, crude dropping to? Remembering, right now, it's mid-60s.
Yeah, I've been talking for a long time, and you probably remember this, $48 to $52 WTI has been my target for a number of months. Based on the supply and demand worldwide and inventories, that's where it should go. So the question is, you know, we went from 60, 2 weeks ago to, you know, I think 66, 67 at the high. We're seeing that, a bounce of $2 just this week on the Colonial Pipeline issue. But I think when we swing the other way, the battle will be at 60, then there'll be a battle at 58. 58 was where the support was last time. And then when we bust 58, there's air all the way down to that $50 range, 50 to 52 range. So that's why I think we're going to see that kind of weakness.
Okay. Well, something to keep an eye on, but it sounds like right now, don't necessarily be overly long or overly aggressive in the oil sector. Wait for a bit of a pullback. But man, Joseph, this thing has held up there for a lot longer than I know you've thought and a lot longer than I thought it would, too. So clearly still a lot of optimism and still a lot of money being pumped into the system that is helping to support energy broadly. But we'll see where we go from here because, again, crude is close to breaking out from the upside, around 68, but there is a lot of negative data out there.
Yeah, the negative data is there, and my recommendation is that if people are overinvested and they're using margin, please be careful, because margin can, you know, has helped you so much in the last few weeks and months, but margin can turn on you and be very savage to you if you're excessively long and then you get a margin call.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I will be posting a link to Joseph's site, the Schatcher Energy Report, and that is where you can sign up for his energy report or also that Ion Energy. Joseph, thanks as always for your time. Great chatting with you.
Good talking to you as well.